And welcome back. Joining us now, Representative Gail Laviel of the 133rd, 136th, 143rd. I know the district well. I just didn't remember the number, representing parts of Wilton, Norwalk, as well as Westport. Gail Laviel has been the ranking member, and she just won recently an Environmental Conservation Award for advocacy on behalf of the environment. And she knows very much how to not only advocate from within her party, but to cross party lines. And she very much has her finger on the pulse of what's happening in Hartford. Gail, hi, and welcome to the show today. What a delight.
Thank you, Lisa. It's good to be on. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, pleasure. So I know that, I don't know if it was yesterday, the day before, I saw that you were covering these Port Authority hearings. Do you want to start with that, or do you want to talk about the special session? Because my audience wants to know everything.
Well, I'll try to cram. How much time do we have?
Exactly. How much time do we have?
We
have about 15 minutes.
Okay, because I'm in a fiscal accountability meeting, ranking member of appropriations, so we get this once a year to check up on what's going on the budget. So in any case, we'll start with the Port Authority because it's just so egregious. I think it's time now, instead of reporting to people what is getting done in Hartford, because nothing is, and believe me, nothing gets done. It's time just to keep people informed on what's going on in their government and what they need to know to judge. And this is particularly egregious with the Port Authority. The Port Authority was created by new statute, new bill, about 4 years ago. I was a big supporter of it, by the way. Our ports, this is a maritime state, and our three largest ports are, you know, have been in big trouble. They've been deteriorating for many, many, many years. So the Port Authority was formed, and a lot of appointees, gubernatorial appointees principally, and a few legislative appointees, were put on the board, and they hired an executive director. And they were doing whatever they were doing for 2 years, including negotiating what has been billed as a major done deal for wind energy at the Port of New London. And then the auditors of public accounts from the state of Connecticut audited them, and they finished their preliminary audit report early this year and put out the final report just recently. And we had a public hearing. It wasn't exactly a public hearing. It was an informational hearing for legislators today by law yesterday. By law, we're supposed to have a public hearing, and that has not occurred yet. The audit report showed that there were no procedures for keeping accounting records, no procedures for cataloging expenses and approval of expenses. The employee manual was non-functional and practically non-existent.
Do they have employees?
Well, they have an executive director, and then they had interns, and all of the interns were misclassified as consultants. They should have been paid benefits because they were employees, not consultants. Contracts were being awarded without any competitive bidding. Just you name it, it was happening. And this all came out in the audit report, which is, you know, there's one Republican and one Democrat who are the state auditors. And they run a very tight ship. And Port Authority is a quasi-public agency, which has certain rules, but there's about 17 others. They said they've never seen anything like this coming from a quasi-public agency.
So who's the executive director, Gail Laviel? Who is it?
Well, he's no longer there. He was, I'm not sure. Well, he was placed on leave, and I think that at the end of about 4 months, he left. I do not personally believe that the if we're going to talk about negligence or even incompetence, I don't think it lies with him.
No?
No, I think it's the board. And the board chair, who had been chair for 2 years, stepped down at the beginning of the summer. His successor took over, and she remained chair for about 2 months. And all this came out. She was asked by the governor to resign, and so was her predecessor from the board. Interesting about the guy who was chair for 2 years. He is now the deputy secretary of state and has been during much of this time. He has not been asked to do anything regarding his job as Deputy Secretary of State.
What is a Deputy Secretary of State supposed to do in the state of Connecticut? What do they do?
The number two to the Secretary of State, and she basically monitors elections and
she has a very real job. I'm just wondering.
She has a very real job. Yeah, she has staff, and he's kind of her deputy.
Okay.
And it's a very important job,
and it
demands high ethics and integrity and attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly none of that was coming from this board. There were, at one point, the executive director had a very serious illness, which I'm very sorry about. I'm sorry he had to go through that. But during all this time, they apparently did not signal to anybody that there were perhaps gaps in their orders, gaps in things they should be doing. What should their oversight be? All kinds of excuses were given for this. I am particularly concerned about the wind energy deal, where the concession for the New London port, the New London pier, has been awarded to an outside company, which has in turn a proposal for Eversource and a Norwegian company to jointly come in and run a wind energy facility. Now, I don't have any opinion about that deal. It could be a perfectly good deal, or it could not. I don't know. I'm not an expert. But what I do know is that it was negotiated while nobody was overseeing anything and while there weren't even any ethics procedures. There was nepotism going on all over the place. People were charging hotel expenses for hotels that were 2 hours away from the business they were doing.
Oh, that's nice.
You name it. It was all happening. And so this has the governor has recently said that there's this wonderful wind deal. And in fact, when the former chair came in to testify yesterday, he spent a lot of time vaunting the wonderful things about this deal and how it was going to be great. I questioned him on that. That was one of my big areas of interest, and learned that it's not a deal. It's a memorandum of understanding. There is no contract so far. It's a $93 million deal, of which the state would be responsible for about $35 million in taxpayer money, $25 million of which was allocated to the Port Authority by the Bond Commission. But the Bond Commission just allocated it on general principles. They had not seen the MOU or the proposal for the deal. So it actually doesn't exist. And I think people should know that, because the governor is going to make some kind of announcement next week about how we're getting a whole new wind energy facility. And in fact, it hasn't gone past the state contracting board. The legislative committees haven't seen it. I suppose they don't have to, but gee, I think at least the state contracting board ought to be reviewing this.
We're chatting with Gail Aviel of the 143rd, who really does her homework, as you can tell.
It was surreal.
Wow.
It was surreal to be at this informational hearing yesterday and hear all these people say, well, you know, we just weren't given specific instructions enough from the state.
Pardon my naivete, Gail, but you've been in government a lot more than I have. Before 4 years ago, before we had this Port Authority, if there was some kind of a wind contract facility that needed to be negotiated, who would be the parties to do that? And maybe we should scrap the Port Authority idea for now if we can't execute it well.
I don't know who the authorities would have been. I mean, it could have been a particular municipality. It could have been really anything. Could have been DEP. It could have been the state. But that was not on the agenda at the time. I do think that there is a real need for a Port Authority to pay attention to developing the Port of New London, restoring it, really, because that's a place where they can actually welcome cruise ships and larger cargo ships. It can never compete with Boston or Elizabeth, New Jersey, but it's a good solid port, but it needs all kinds of, you know, revamping. New Haven and Bridgeport also need some help to get going. And to do that, you need to do marketing. You need to do all kinds of things. And I think there does need to be an entity focused on it, but it needs to be clearly overseen, and it needs to have a board that says, I'm the chairman of the board. Mm-hmm. I think people are behaving unethically, or I've asked three times to see the accounting records on such and such a matter, and they haven't been produced. Where are they?
So, Gail, let me just, because we're going to run out of time and I don't want to, I do want to know I want to see what you think about the special session.
Of course.
First of all, when the governor calls a special session, does that mean that everybody then responds and says, yes, we'll go? How does that work?
No.
Okay.
No. He will normally get that all agreed with his majority party, because if the vote's not going to go his way, he's not going to want a special session.
Okay.
So here is the deal. You may remember that there was a lot of jumping up and down by the Democrats and the governor last spring to say, we finished our budget, we finished it on time, and it balances.
Yes.
Well, this is what really happened. They finished the part of the budget they finished. They didn't finish the rest. There's hundreds of millions of dollars in a hospital tax settlement that had to be negotiated. There is the matter of the restaurant minimum wage and taxes that have to do with the tip credit. That all had to be negotiated. None of that was done, neither of those two things. Another thing that was not done is that the governor has not released, there has been no bonding bill. So the municipalities are not getting the town aid that they routinely get for things like road paving.
That's quite a bit of urgency going on right now,
that's
right?
A great deal of urgency. And finally, nothing in the way of transportation was decided, which doesn't surprise me, except that it's funny that the Democrats, after all having said we need tolls, can't agree among themselves to vote on anything. And so we had the governor's proposal for trucks only, which got quashed. Then we had the proposal for 83 gantries. Then it was 53 gantries. And then it was just bridges for trucks and cars. And now it's back to just trucks. But none of this has been drafted into a bill or anything. There are a number of different proposals out there. And the Senate Republicans came up with one that took money from the Rainy Day Fund. And clearly the presentation I'm listening to in the other room from the governor's budget director is geared to persuade people not to take any money out of the Rainy Day Fund.
But the Rainy Day Fund, as it goes forward, I've been trying to explain this to our audience. The Rainy Day Fund cannot increase forever. At some point, actually, the law requires it to be lopped off. Because you can't.
Well,
have,
I mean, it could be increased, but it's only required to be increased up to a certain level.
No,
once
but
you get
some,
up to that level, you can stop.
Yeah, no, but you have to, because at some point, like we have this in our little town of Westport, at some point you can have budget reserves that exceed whatever the X percentage is of your overall budget. You're not allowed. The law says you can't do that because you're holding too much of the money, of the people's tax money, in abeyance, and you're not doing anything with it. You're not allowed to do that indefinitely. You're not.
Right. And we are almost to 15%, but we're not quite there.
Yeah, but we're at a historic high. It's a big number.
So they're telling us in the other room that there's going to be a recession any minute, and we need to keep every cent. But be that as it may, here's what's happening. The governor has asked to have in the special session all four of those items I just mentioned. And he's asked to have the special session the week after next. And it would include hospital tax settlement, the restaurant tip credit thing, bonding, and a vote on tolls or transportation of some sort. And he won't release the bonding, he said, unless there's a vote on that, on the transportation.
Wow.
Now, here's the problem. Even with things like the hospital tax settlement, which are more straightforward, there hasn't been a public hearing. There hasn't been a public hearing on tolls, on whatever the proposal is, because we don't know what it is. So we would now, I mean, at this point, there's no time even to give the public notice of a hearing. So for us to go in and do any of these things in 2 weeks is just dead wrong.
Do you think it's wrong because it's not the right way to govern, or wrong because you don't think it's going to happen? What do you mean by wrong?
Well, I don't think it's the right way to govern. Mm. Now, that said, do I think it's going to happen? I think that we may go in to do the hospital tax thing And the restaurant tip coded has had plenty of discussion and stuff. So, you know, I do think we should have a public hearing on the hospital thing. I hope they will be able to squeeze that in, but I can't guarantee they will. And that would be a great shame if they didn't, because there's all sorts of things to talk about there. So I would say that it's more likely on those two things that we could have a special session. I don't think the tolls one is likely, because there will be a hue and cry that is unbelievable, which I support the hue and cry, because you don't just go in and drop this on everybody like a ton of bricks. You cannot do that. That is not fair to the populace. It's not fair to our constituents. And you can tell by my voice, this makes me really angry.
Yeah.
And I think it's disrespectful to our constituents. And, you know, I hate to see this kind of thing being thrown around. But I think at this point, the governor is so embarrassed that he hasn't been able to get anything through his own party, that he's just desperate to get something done before the end of the year.
And no one wants to vote
in an election year.
And, you know, I have to say, and Governor Lamont's been on the show a few times. He's going to continue to come on. I have to, and he's been hearing from our audience. I really thought that the Republicans handed him, in the form of the Senate Republicans, Len Fasano, I thought that they handed him an outline of something that was so real and so doable and would have been so palatable to everyone in Connecticut. Even those who advocate for tolls usually say, well, it's not like I like them, but it's the only way I can see towards doing what we need to do. I think it would have been such a win-win to just say, okay, I'm going to do something really unusual. I'm going to make a deal with the other side.
Well, you're thinking logically. You mustn't do that when you're talking about Hartford, Lisa. You should know that by now. I have to say this, and I will say it on the radio. We all would love for the world in politics to be a place where people want to work together and exchange ideas and do what's right for the populace, right?
Yeah.
Hartford's a very partisan place. It would be very extraordinary for these guys to really want to give the Republicans credit for anything. And that is really how it works. And I hate to say that. I'm sorry to say that. I don't like it. I would rather it weren't that way. But that is actually the truth.
Gail Laviel, thank you for taking time out of your day. Go back to your fiscal accountability hearings, but definitely come back on the show. Gail Laviel from the 143rd, representing parts of Wilton, Norwalk, as well as Westport, a really passionate and very highly recognized state representative up in Hartford.
You know, I love coming on. Thank you, Lisa.
We love having you on. Gail Laviel on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.